Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm at Innovation Forum's Sustainable Landscapes Conference in London. I'm with Alison Ward, CEO of Cotton Connect, a regular on our podcast. Welcome back, Alison.
Hi, great to be here again.
We've just been talking about your work with Primark and developing resilience in smaller supply chains. How do your projects with Primark and your other partners, how do they really work to develop resilience in smaller supply chains?
I think really the first element is that we've created traceable supply chains. Primark actually know where their cotton is coming from, and we've just heard this 4.4 million pairs of pyjamas have taken cotton from our project in Gujarat. So there's now an accountability and an understanding of what's going on at a ground level. From having that sight of the supply chain, we can then really work with those communities. And I think what's quite exciting about some of the work we're doing is that it's not just the cotton, it's not just the agronomic piece, that we've built in elements about rights and life skills for women. We've looked at the winter crop within India. We've looked at the intercrop, so spices that are intercropped already with cotton. So this really becomes a package that pulls together across the community and looks not at farmers as cotton farmers, but as members of a rural community.
Obviously, for Primark, it's quite a small proportion of their cotton comes from your project, but it's one that they plan to develop and roll out as they move towards their goal of 100% sustainable cotton in their supply chains. How much do you see the role of gender empowerment in helping brands like Primark develop more sustainable supply chains?
Yeah, and I think women in cotton is a real theme that we've been looking at in Cotton Connect over the past 5 years. And we started off in 2014 with only 1,500 women in our programmes. And now we have 50,000 women in our programmes across different countries. We talk about how important women are in agriculture and the amazing impact that you can have by training women, both in terms of the income of the farm itself, in the confidence in women, in the health of the family. So for me, it has been a cornerstone of what we've done at Cotton Connect. And it is amazing to see the results in terms of both prosperity, but also really building women leaders for the future in rural communities.
Let's talk about that a bit more. How are these communities being developed? Because something that's come out over the last couple of days here is the importance of building sustainable communities. It's not just about the farmer, male or female, it's about the community around that farmer. How do you develop a sustainable community? How is your work to help him to develop that?
I mean, one of our approaches is we work with a local group, a local NGO who's really trusted in the region, and we do that consistently. Obviously, we're working in Gujarat, and the language is Gujarati, but even within Gujarat, there are dialects. So it's really important that we are sensitive to local community needs. So although we've got a core agronomic program, we then adapt it depending on what's going on in that community. And it's the same as when you look at women and training women, sort of changing social norms. So you have to be quite sensitive and thoughtful about how you do that. We're a bottoms up, feet on the ground organisation, and that's deliberate, that we really grow up from the bottom.
How do you approach the cultural sensitivities? You just raised them just now. How do you tackle them so that you take account of what is culturally the norm, but then it develop that? What kind of reassurance do you have to give to the communities that you're not there to kind of tell them what to do, but in fact, it's, you're there to help them become more resilient?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, a lot of it is the farmers begin to see changes. So they're seeing a reduction in their pesticide and fertiliser use. So I met a woman recently who'd saved £700 a year just by applying her fertiliser correctly on her farm. Now, that's just a saving she'd made, let alone the fact that her yield will increase, her water consumption will increase, and she's getting new skills. So I think once farmers begin to see those kind of numbers, that you get that confidence. When you're trusted, you can begin to talk about other more difficult topics. And we tend to start with nutrition and health, because obviously women are allowed to go and learn about nutrition and health by the men in the family. And then we begin to talk about rights and entrepreneurship. But it's really trust. And we've just heard in our session, it's 2013 when we started working with Primark. 2018, we've got pyjamas in store. It does take that length of time to build community confidence, business confidence, and then the right framework to really make it work.
In all these matters, we always talk about how we can scale things up and the kind of transformation rather than the incremental change. Is it peer-to-peer learning that can really transform this sort of approach? You train a certain number of women and people in a community, and then they go out and then train themselves a number, and then your numbers can explode that are really have improvements and more resilience in their activities.
I mean, there is the cascade within communities, definitely. I do also think there's around 20% of the world's cotton is now classed as sustainable. I mean, there's still a whole lot that isn't, and a number of companies that perhaps still aren't involved to the level they should be. So I do think that there's a need to continue as a sector to be accountable for this as well. But you need to operate at both levels, don't you? Both at this sort of the business accountability, but then how do you really scale up at a farm level as well?
It's more complicated than that, then, isn't it? It's just you've got to do every different approach as a place, and it's bringing them all together. Someone asked a question in the session, you know, what are the hurdles of getting to 100% sustainability? Well, for you, you've been working in the sector for some time. You've got other commodity experience as well. What are the hurdles to getting to 100% sustainable, in inverted commas, commodities?
One is time. And I think that our average farmer training program is 3 years. And that's the time between, I think, the first year the farmers apply some of the techniques that they learn. But if you can imagine, you've been farming for 20 years in a certain way, and then you're told to farm in a different way. So perhaps you've been flood irrigating and you're now told to alternate furrow irrigate or invest in some drip irrigation. You're probably not going to put it over your whole land in the first year. I think there's a time frame against this. And then I think it's really, and we've been talking about the business case with Primark today, how do we make this work? The Primark pyjama is £6. So there's no increase in terms of the product cost. And we've been able to maintain the cotton at the market rate through our market linkages programme. So there is a need, I think, to really demonstrate that this can work for business. Yes, there's business investment, but there's not this huge increase in terms of cost of goods.
But back to your point about reassurance for the farmers, how do you reassure a farming community that has been doing things a particular way that your way is better?
I mean, there's some tried and tested techniques, which I'm sure other commodities will know about. There's lead farmers, so you tend to look for a lead farmer who's the innovative farmer. We do demo plots. You can take farmers to visit other farms that have been successful. So there's quite a few techniques to encourage farmers. I mean, with cotton, obviously, it's planted April, May and harvest in November. So you can see quite quickly the difference between two sides of the field as well. So quite often you'll have a side, which is where we've intervened and the plants are healthier and bigger, and then the other side, which hasn't. And instantly the farmer can see the difference, actually.
It's still a bit of a leap of faith, though, isn't it, when this crop is so much of the income for that particular farmer.
Sure.
Just to tie things together then, how does your work with Primark and other partners, how do you help to ensure that the children of today's farmers want to be farmers on their own in the future, women and men?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a question for agriculture across the world. Certainly we see that for youth in farming communities, the use of technology makes it more appealing. So we've been doing some work with training through mobile technology. So we've done some pilots on that. And certainly, I mean, all of the mobile technology is young farmers. And I think that's going to be quite key to the future, because it's quite exciting to get the message on your phone, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then we've also been looking at creating sort of micro businesses at a farm level, whether it be for women or for men. And some of it is about them creating their own fertilisers, so organic fertilisers, and selling it, for example.
Sure.
So really ways that actually you're beginning to show that farming is modern, is appealing in terms of money. And they're really seeing in our programmes that incomes are really increasing. So they're seeing actually, oh, this isn't such a bad life after all, that we can really create a thriving business from there.
This is the kind of the crux of the whole issue. We really have to have communities that are thriving, that are attractive to the next generation. Otherwise, existing supply chains simply won't be there in a generation's time. So that's the big challenge. Alison Ward, CEO of Cotton Connect, thanks very much, and thanks for your continued support.
Thank you.